That'll do, donkey.
She thinks my tractor's sexy. I've never had a
tractor. Can we do a rewrite and say she thinks my tractor is my utilitarian?
You recorded all that, right?
Oh my god.
Oh. I want to listen to this episode immediately.
Facebook founder and CEO Mark Zuckerberg took
Help me, Tom Cruise.
It's time for the 2 minute wheel.
In similarly related. Yeah, how does that one go? I'm not really.
Please. No.
And I'm such a fool for you.
What is happening right now?
It's time for the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. Serious outdoorsmen who don't take themselves too seriously.
Nate, what's new, brother?
New year, man.
New year, new Cast and Blast Florida podcast.
That's right.
Actually, living the dream.
Same old shenanigans.
You may have noticed that we did not have an episode last week. Did you notice that as one of our 7 subscribers?
You know, it took me a minute, but I did notice it.
Yeah, that was my fault. I was going to do a best of. Like a compilation and like a narrative. What went through my head was, have you ever seen the 100th episode of Seinfeld? Or like The Office where they sell Dunder Mifflin to Sabre?
Yeah, and they go through the memories, basically.
Yes,
yeah.
It's basically like a throwaway episode just to kind of put something out there and give the writers a break.
Right.
I was kind of looking for something like that. It made me definitely appreciate my wife more, trying to compose such an episode, and I may have accidentally deleted it. After some work, and it just wasn't good.
How many times did the laptop crash while you were trying to?
Multiple times. Like, we may be needing to talk about an equipment upgrade. Like, it was just not good.
Well,
don't tease me.
So, I spared all of our listeners also from that.
Yeah, no, I think that's good.
What can you say except you're welcome?
What's new with you, Emily?
Nothing. I'm on vacation, which has been nice.
Emily, we've gotten some feedback, Em. My wife, the love of my life. We've gotten some feedback from some of our listeners who have actually verbally said to me in person, Emily is our favorite part of the show.
Aww.
I have not heard that.
Yeah, because you were there when that conversation happened, and it definitely hurt my soul a little bit, because we've been on like 19 episodes, and she's been on like 3,
that
and
hurts.
They're like, oh yeah, she's the best part. And I'm like, really? Have you listened to all the shows?
I think, to be fair, though, your Uncle Tim said the opposite, didn't he?
He totally did.
He was like, get that girl off that show.
I think he said something to the effect of, I used to like the podcast, and you gave Emily a mic. Something like that.
Thanks, Uncle Tim. Shout out to you. Why don't you come be a guest at our studio.
Uncle Tim on the podcast would be amazing.
That would be a great podcast.
Super good show today. Super. We've got an amazing show packed up
Looking
for you guys.
Looking forward to this one.
So let me explain. Emily and Nate, normally we have some kind of an outline. We don't go off scripts, but normally we have some kind of an outline. Today they do not have them because we really want some hot takes.
Hot ticks?
Hot takes.
Okay.
Most podcasts are playing it safe this time of year. They're doing a recap of 2017. Best moments, worst moments, that sort of thing. Super common in the industry. However, we actually have a review. A few weeks ago, we read it on the air, and it was from Steedun. He said, worthy of listening with both ears, this podcast will alter your perception of time. We've taken that review to heart and altered the perception of time. And instead of doing the year 2017 in review, we are doing the year 2018. In review.
So
we're going to be the first podcast
right,
to do this.
So let me get this straight. You have traveled into the future.
We have traveled into the future.
We have traveled into the future as a podcast.
Yes.
Collectively as a podcast. And we have seen the top stories of 2018.
Correct. There's going to be a beep here in a minute. And everything after that beep will have been recorded in December of 2018. So this is going to be the year in review 2018.
Okay.
So it's not the year in preview. It's not what we think is going to happen. These are things that actually happened. We're telling you. We're not going to give you, like, betting advice on football games or anything like that. Like, we're playing it straight. We've seen Back to the Future. You don't want to mess with that stuff.
Right.
So, this is just the headlines. So,
it's as though Nostradamus came and told us what was going to happen.
No, it's not like that at all. It's like we lived it and saw what happened, and now we're telling you guys. Mm. We've obtained this recording from the future. So, this may sound ridiculous. Please don't turn us off yet. You're going to want to hear this. Emily, can you give us a beep? How you doing, Nate?
Doing good.
Good, man. Good. Just had another good Christmas here in 2018.
That's right.
So we promised we would do a 2018 year in recap. So I've got for you 6 headlines from 2018. I'm going to read you the headline and then a little synopsis of the story. And then we may actually have some sound bites from some folks that were interviewed or weighed in on various things that happened. So
okay.
The first headline from 2018 is YouTube sensation. 14-year-old with 7.8 million followers posts video of over 3 ringneck ducks responding to a mallard call. Chad Declund, age 14, of Sebring, Florida, was instantly made full-time pro staff with Banded, Drake, Heavy Shot, and Prodigy Boats for stunning footage of over 3 ringers dumping into a decoy spread composed of mallards and canvasbacks. When reached for an interview by the Today Show, Chad offered this sage wisdom.
You know, I just really thought it was due. I've been practicing my highball call for almost as long as I've been duck hunting. Probably 3 or 4 weeks. It took me a while to get the pictures just right for my Instagram page. But I really think it's probably the single greatest accomplishment in the history of duck hunting. The craziest part is, man, them were the first ducks I ever killed. It's just so much easier than I thought it would be. If y'all want to book a duck hunt charter with me, just give me a follow on my Instagram. @teal_slayer_2013_ringneckguy_87. And we'll hook it up.
Nate, what is your first reaction to the YouTube sensation of 2018, Chad Declund of Sebring, Florida?
Good for this kid, man.
Did you see the video?
It was great. Those ringnecks were cupped, locked.
All three of them.
All three of them were cupped, locked in the decoys. It took him, if I remember right, it took him 3 plus 2. So he shot 3 times, reloaded 2, and shot 2 more to kill one of those ducks.
Absolutely. Absolutely he did.
And, you know, shout out to those companies that gave him the pro staff.
Absolutely. He's I hope we can get him as a guest on our show next year.
I think we could get like millions of hits on that episode.
Emily, do you have a reaction to this video?
Is Pampers going to sponsor him too? Or maybe Clearasil?
Are you like wondering what is even happening right now?
I'm like, screw this kid, man. I've been on so many duck hunts and like nothing happens. No ducks, no shoots, no nothing. And then this little effer, what kind of even call did he use to call him in?
A mallard call. It's clearly stated. Did made you not
by,
see the video?
Was, it must have been made by Darkwater Calls. I believe that
it was an R&T for
R&T
sure.
Was $150 duck call. Practicing his highball for the last 3 weeks.
Did he play a reed instrument in the middle school band?
Absolutely. That's what gave him the leg up on everyone else.
Gotcha.
Here we go. Headline number 2 from 2018. This is one of the top headlines of the year in the outdoors industry. Florida sportsman wins Pulitzer Prize. Emily has gone to
She's
the zoo.
She's dead.
Could they fit the title of the article that
Hold
won on the
Let
prize?
Let me read you the synopsis of this story, please. These are top headlines. In a surprising move, the Pulitzer Prize, awarded annually to the best in journalism, recognized Florida sportsmen for an early April article entitled Zero Dark 30, How Catching the Treasure Coast's Biggest Sea Trout Has Become an After-Hours Affair. Tips and tricks to entice these tasty trout in their favorite.
What's the rest of it? What is it? Tips and tricks. Hold on. Do it. Say it. What's the rest of it? Travis is crying, you guys.
Tips and tricks to entice these tasty trout in their favorite nocturnal haunts, a how-to guide to putting more fish on the deck and in the cooler. When reached for comment, a Florida sportsman spokesperson offered,
"We really feel this was an overdue award. We published that identical article for 17 straight years, and it was high time the Pulitzer Committee gave us our due."
Nate, do you have any reaction to this stunning news, honestly,
Absolutely.
That Florida sportsman received a Pulitzer Prize for this article?
I am flabbergasted at this news, at this happening. Since when did the Pulitzer Prize care about?
Oh, they've moved into local and regional things. Yeah, I checked that out on the website just to confirm before I publish this headline.
Good. Well, maybe they'll get some more, you know.
I'm just like, I'm out of words.
Nate is literally awestruck by,
he can't come back
by the article. Emily, do you have any thoughts on this article?
I mean, what are the categories of the Pulitzer? Like, which one was it in?
It was in local, regional, outdoor coverage.
For best title. For best headline.
I don't know if they actually read the article. They may have just read the headline
you don't
and given
need
the
to.
Award.
Yeah, the headline's enough. You understand most of what they're trying to say.
I almost feel like maybe the Pulitzer was just trying to move them off this article. And so they were like, let's give them an award to see if they'll write something else. Are you ready for the next major headline? 2018.
I think so.
Outdoors industry
headline.
It's been
headline. A crazy year so far, so... Anything
really was not what I would have expected in 2017 at the end of the year.
Right.
Kenny Chesney changes his name legally to Kenny Costa Chesney. Here's the synopsis. In an even less surprising move, air quotes, country music singer, end quotes, Kenny Chesney completed his transformation into the ultimate Salt Life avatar by officially changing his name to Kenny Costa Chesney. Kenny's agent announced the move at a press conference in Manchester, New Hampshire, recently renowned as the center of the laid-back tropical lifestyle.
What?
When reached for a quote about the change, Kenny Costa said,
"You know, as a landlocked Tennessean from Tennessee, I felt like many country music fans did not recognize how much of an ambassador I am to the fishing and boating community. I've been to the Floribama over 2 times, and none of my shirts have sleeves, so this really was the natural next step."
Emily, do you have any reaction at all to Kenny Chesney changing his name to Kenny Costa Chesney?
Wow.
How many O's are in that wow?
I have no words in
like
my
all
brain.
The O's? That's a wow with all the O's?
Every O in the universe.
Nate, what about you as a Kenny Chesney apologist?
I would not call myself a Kenny Chesney apologist.
You know what else was interesting this year was Kenny released an album, 8,000 songs deep.
8,000 songs?
They all have calypso music. All the songs are exactly the same calypso.
Yeah, I was about to say, how many chords did he use total? Four.
Three.
Four. Three. Most country songs have 3 or 4.
Have you been to the Floribama?
I have been to the Floribama.
Emily, have you been to the Floribama?
Have I been to the Floribama?
You have, indeed.
Not during the night, though, right?
I couldn't speak to your Floribama habits.
I was with you.
Oh, were you? Then you've been during the night.
No shoes, no shirts, but I got my coasters.
What else you got on Kenny, Nate?
So what happens if he decides to wear a different type of sunglass? Say, what if like Smith comes calling and says, "Kenny, we want you to be our spokesperson. We're going to pay you more."
I don't think that would be on brand for him. I think the only thing he might could do is work Salt Life into his name somehow. Kenny Costa Salt Life Chesney.
Kenny Salt Costa Life Chesney.
Yes.
Okay.
I'd buy that. I'd buy that, and I would think he would. I think he would sell more albums because of that. Everyone, ready for the next headline? This is headline number 4 from the year 2018. President Trump signs an executive order banning flat-billed hats.
Come on.
Now this is a policy
this
I can
is,
get behind.
This is change you can believe in.
That's right.
In what could only be described as a breath of fresh air, Press Secretary Sarah Sanders announced in mid-June that flat-billed hats would no longer be sold or produced. The law was passed unanimously on both the House and Senate floors and met with rousing applause across the nation. Political pundits offered an even more unified coverage of the bill, with CNN going so far as to call the new law dope. Coverage at a local boat ramp of flat-billed hat wearers' reaction ranged from "brah, for reals" to "not chill at all."
It's going to be huge. Flat-billed hats no more. Those are the hats of snowflakes and liberals. You know where you buy flat-billed hats? China. We're going to make hunting and fishing great again, people. It's going to be tremendous, tremendous round hats. We're making this change very bigly all across the nation.
Nate, do you have a reaction to flat bill hat bans by the president?
That was a great soundbite.
It really was.
By the way,
was mid June when this happened, so we've had a little time now to get them off the market and kind of collect those.
Yeah, this is something I can definitely get behind. I'm not a flat bill hat guy.
Disputedly.
Well, I mean, a bent brim is a bent brim.
Right.
No matter how bent it is. But I'm just hoping that this changes a little bit of the flat bill hat culture.
Yeah, it seems as though you almost are speechless about this.
I mean,
hearing the president speak on it so passionately, it's like you don't really know how to move forward.
Right, right.
Emily, do you have a reaction to anything that happened?
More than the president's remarks, I'm shocked that Sarah Sanders made it through 2018 as the press secretary.
Absolutely surprising to all of us.
Yeah, that, I mean, way to go, Sarah.
Yeah. Great, great job, Sarah. All right, we've got two more headlines, and these are biggies. We're getting into the meat of this episode.
I didn't think 2018 could get any crazier.
It was packed, and that's why this episode's actually running so long. This is just, imagine the stuff we had to leave behind.
Oh, I mean, gold. We had some gold stuff.
Yeah, the cutting room floor, like the bloopers for this will just be epic. Huge headline: Facebook bans duck hunting groups. November 2018. Facebook has announced the banning of all duck hunting groups on the social media giant's network. While initial concern was that this ban originated with protests under anti-hunting groups, it seems that the conspiracy was much less nefarious. Facebook founder and CEO Mark Zuckerberg took to the platform's live feature to offer this commentary.
This is not about being anti-hunting. It was simply about the fact that our servers, our infrastructure, could not handle the load of these same questions being asked every single day. Which choke tube is best? Are merganders good to eat? Which shotgun's the best? Is it legal to hunt in this spot? Which ammo is best? Can someone give me a scouting report on a particular area? Which taxidermist is best? Can you believe these Skybusters, Googans, Duck Dynasty guys did something offensive to me? I would never have believed I'd have to say this, but thank God President Trump banned flat-billed hats, or this could have gotten out of hand sooner.
The social network announced no plans to reinstate waterfowl groups, and in closing, Zuckerberg had these remarks.
To the fishing industry, we're keeping an eye on you guys. And Landon Blankenship's taxidermy is second to none.
Wow.
Wow, that's a big shout out for Landon.
From Mark Zuckerberg,
go,
CEO and founder of the Facebook. The Facebook.
The Facebook.
The Facebook.
Any thoughts on that? I mean, that seemed like it, at the end of 2017, it seemed like this was the only direction this could go.
Yeah, I think this is probably the best thing for Facebook, especially duck hunting Facebook members.
Right.
It just takes all of the pressure off of duck season.
Yeah. Now, I do know that in conjunction with this, there were a lot of guys seen that they didn't know what to do with the photos they were taking of their three bluebills they killed. They didn't know where to put them. So it has created some confusion in the duck hunting community a little bit. People don't know where to post and to argue about things.
Yeah, good thing there's the underscore names on Instagram.
That's true.
People can post on Instagram.
So I'm just glad to hear that the moderators of the Florida Duck Hunters group have gotten exactly what they wanted.
No duck hunt discussions of
any
kind.
No duck hunt discussions, no advertising, no fun, no cursing, no jokes, nothing. So, way to go, guys. You really pushed your agenda. Zuckerberg got behind it, and Blankenship got a shout out. So, I'm all in on this.
I'm
excited about this headline.
It's I really feel like we've moved forward as a nation.
I was tired of all those same questions too.
I think everyone was. Although I say everyone was, everyone definitely had an answer to every one of those questions every day.
650 comments later.
Yep. You ready for probably the biggest headline of 2018?
I'm ready.
Nate, are you ready for probably the biggest headline of 2018?
I'm ready.
Cast and Blast Florida podcast reaches 100 reviews on iTunes.
Man, what a milestone.
In a stunning move, a nascent hunting and fishing podcast from two goobers and a babe in Central Florida reached a prestigious milestone in mid-July. Despite popular belief that there's no way possible this show could possibly have more than 9 listeners, Cast and Blast Florida reached the mountaintop of iTunes accomplishments, making it far and away the worst podcast in the history of podcasts to obtain this goal.
Wow.
The review that pushed them over the top came from noted iTunes reviewer K. Costa Chez, who wrote,
"How is this even on the interwebs? I don't know how that's possible. I'm absolutely rating it the lowest ranking. 5 stars.
Do you guys have any comments?
I mean, hey.
That's amazing. We're
beer's on me, guys.
2018 was a fantastic year for us, obviously.
Fantastic year.
100. I mean, we reached 100 reviews back in July, and it's been a snowball since then.
Yes.
Yeah, we had Knox and Jamie from the Popcast reaching out to us, want to do some advertising on our show. That was a big moment.
Those are the 6 biggest headlines we could come up with. As a group, we got together and collectively went through and weeded out the best headlines we could figure out for...
Sifted through the year.
For 2018. And I feel like that was a strong list.
I mean, if 2018 is any indication of 2019, we're in for a long ride.
Oh, we're all coming up roses.
Oh, yeah.
Emily, did you have any thoughts on our list or 2018 as a whole, looking back on it? It was a great year for us.
Great year, phenomenal year for the fishing industry and us as a podcast. We're still working on our partnership with Florida Sportsman. It's been tenuous. They've talked about advertising with us.
So that puts a bow on 2018. We hope everyone else's 2018 was as prosperous and as amazing as ours. Nate, you want to?
Yeah, no, it was a great year. Some crazy stuff's come down the pipe.
Last week when you killed 2 pintails with 1 shot, and I ended up having to take one on my license. They were both full plume. I mean, it was amazing.
What's that called when you kill 2 birds with 1 shot?
A Irish Scotch double.
Scotch
double.
Where does what's the etymology? Is that right? Etymology?
I think it's from the word Scotch, meaning Scottish, and double meaning 2.
Nice mansplaining there, Travis. Yeah. That was really attractive.
Yeah, that didn't help me at all. Thank you, Kenny, for jumping in there. Or that was. President Luke Trump. Ryan. Whoever.
It was tremendous. China.
Big plans ahead for us in 2019.
We're hoping to get the 2,000 reviews.
Yeah, so. in 2019, absolutely. No, 2,000.
2,000, that's way within reach.
Yeah, that's probably not setting our sights high enough, Nate. Thank you guys so much for listening. Have a happy new year.
2019, here we come.
All right, people. This is possibly the greatest podcast ever produced, maybe ever in the history of the world. It's going to be tremendous. It's going to be huge. You're going to love it. This is coming to you bigly all across the nation. We hope that our friends and our allies are listening. This is coming at you cutting through all the fake news out there. This is a reliable source of information, people. It's going to be huge.
Wow. That was an amazing segment. Listening to it now in 2000, here at the end of 2017, beginning of 2018, knowing now what's going to happen, this is going to be an amazing year.
Yeah, extremely accurate prediction.
It's hard for me to wrap my head around it too, Nate.
I know.
But we've obviously bent the space-time continuum.
I was just about to say on this space-time podcast. Continuum.
Yeah. Sorry, I took the words out of your mouth.
That's all right.
Do you have any closing thoughts or remarks from present day 2018?
I mean, what a gift. What a gift to be able to see this far into the future of 2018.
Right.
And the opportunities and the foolishness. And what a gift to know that the Florida Duck Hunters Facebook group is going to be no more.
And what a gift to know that there will be no more flatbill hats.
It's just, yeah. 2018 really was looking the year up. That kept on giving.
Looking up.
And so. Trump really seems to have shored up his votes for the next election with all the hunter and fishermen.
Absolutely. So just for banning flat-billed hats.
And not surprising at all.
No, absolutely not. So with that, we'll stay in modern, real time as we move forward with this episode.
Yeah. So we're back to present day, January 2nd, 2018. For Keep and Release. Will, take it away.
It's time for Keep and Release.
Nate, what's your release item this week?
So my release item is that the college semester is about to start back up.
Yeah. Oh.
And I'm not really looking forward to it, even though I know I have to do it.
How many hours are you taking this semester?
I think 12.
Oh, my gosh. And working as much as you do? That's
a lot.
Yeah,
but the way it works is you can take 2 classes. They're 8-week classes instead of 16. Okay. So I can take 2 the first 8 and 2 the second week.
Plus, you have a full-time job podcasting.
Right. I'm a busy guy.
Yeah, you're in demand.
I'm just not looking forward to getting back into the grind of school. But I'm almost done, so I'm...
Yeah, it'll be worth it. My release is not as genuine or heartfelt as yours, and I think it's actually going to shock you, but I'm releasing Mojo Decoys.
What?
I hear it in your voice. Like I wish people
Are
could
you
see.
Serious?
I wish we had a live feed set up of your reaction right then.
So you dogged me about some dude having 11. I thought 11 was too many.
Yeah.
And you were like, if I could have 100, I'd have 100.
If I could have long lines of nothing but mojo decoys, I would do it. I believe that's the exact quote I made on this podcast, yeah. This very podcast.
So I'm flabbergasted.
Yeah, here's the reason I'm releasing them. I still love what they do and how they look and the way they work. I don't love them because I can't seem to keep one working more than about 4 weeks. Like, I'm going through engines, I'm going through motor, whatever you call those things. I don't know.
Motors.
They're not engines. You don't fire them up with, like, a key or something. But anyway, I'm going through those. They're hard to keep running. They just don't last as long as I think they should. Like, you're putting something in the water. To me, I feel like it should be, like, sealed and...
waterproof.
Yeah, that's a good word for it. Waterproof.
Yeah. Which is a genius idea.
So, I'm releasing mojos, I think, because I can't get them to last long enough for me.
Who are you?
I'm asking myself that question in the mirror every day right now. Man. I'm having to really have some tough conversations and some hard looks.
Headline 2018.
In similarly related news, if anyone's in the market to buy
gently used
mojo decoys, you can find us on social media at Cast and Blast FL. I'll make you a deal.
They may need some work.
No, they're fine, pristine.
Just need new batteries.
Yep.
What's your keep item, Nate?
So my keep item is something I got for Christmas. It's a Bushnell rechargeable headlamp.
Ooh.
Really nice.
I use the Bushnell rechargeable headlamp.
I know you do. And I'm pretty sure that's where my mom got the idea.
It is. I may have texted with her about that.
So I'm really into this. It's got a really bright spot, a dimmer spot, and then like a, I don't know exactly what you...
I call it like the local light.
The local light or like the...
It's like a dim light. Just giving you a little light.
Right. So you can just like see what's in your hands or like what's right next to you. Yeah. And so it's not like a bright spotlight where you're blinding somebody.
But that's not the best part of that light, is it?
It's not.
What's the best part of it?
It's rechargeable. USB.
It's rechargeable. There's a USB cable sealed on it.
Sealed. Yes. I do love the sealed part because those things can get like corroded.
And even in talking about this, I was wrong about what the best part of that light was. The best part of it is there's an indicator telling you how charged it is.
I haven't plugged it in yet, so yeah. I don't even know.
On the side of it, there's actually four or five little LEDs that tell you how charged it is. It gets red at the lower and it gets green as it goes up. So you can tell how much battery you've got left. So if you're like, oh, crap, I didn't charge it, you can click it on and see what your battery light
is.
That's
genius.
Oh, it's a brilliant light.
No, I'm way in on this light.
Brilliant light. My keep item is actually from Smith Optics. As a fishing guide, you would think, oh, it's going to be sunglasses.
Sure.
That's a big fat negative. What it is...
God, I feel like you need to be wearing these while you tell them about it.
What it is the outside the wire goggle.
Outside
have you
the
seen
wire.
These?
No, I don't even know what they look
pause,
like.
Press pause, please.
Okay, I'm going to. Everyone, you just sit tight for a second.
As you can see on my face right now, I am wearing... the Smith Optics outside the wire tactical goggles. Now, you may find yourself asking, Travis, do you have a question about this?
So many questions.
So many questions.
Does he sleep in them? Yeah, he does.
Only because you asked me to.
Did you just pop out of a video game?
Yeah. You might find yourself asking, Travis, why do you have these goggles? Do you want to ask me that?
Sure. Is it to look ridiculous?
No, it's not. These baller eye shades are because I wear contacts.
Right.
And I have zero vision without my contacts. And when you drive in the rain or bad conditions, like you can get water sprayed into your face and you can lose a contact, wind can blow it out, whatever. So by investing in some high-end goggles such as these, I've now ensured the safety of both myself and my guests on my vessel. In addition to just looking like a grade A badass. I mean,
yeah,
I see it in your face.
Yeah.
Like,
you know,
are you envious? You didn't put this on your list.
I am, you know, I am.
These actually, they come with this baller case. I don't know where it is. Smith Optics tactical outside the wire come with a baller case. They also come
the shaded lens
with a shaded lens in case I want to be like, you know, Lawrence Taylor or Adrian Peterson or somebody, yeah, like that, you know, like, mm-hmm, huge keep item for me.
I think it's already used. I think it's LaDainian Tomlinson, not.
Yeah, LaDainian Tomlinson, whoever it is. I'm not a football guy anymore, but huge keep item for me. Like, this is a game changer.
Yeah. They're camo too. So, you know, wear them duck hunting.
They're not bad stylistically, but functionally they're just off the charts.
I will say that safety-wise, I have run through many a rainstorm with you, with like rain pelting
now,
me like bullets.
Now I can see that.
And I have looked behind me with the fear of God on my face and seen him literally grab a contact lens off his cheek that is blown out of his eyeball and force it back into his eye while steering the boat through a maelstrom of water and wind. So I'm all for these goggles.
Just this very morning that this podcast was recorded, I may have had a client on the boat who hunts with me regularly and has his own dog that he brings. The dog may have dove off the boat chasing bluebills at 5:15 in the morning, going 25 miles an hour, to which a torrential wave of water washed over the whole boat.
How much did the dog weigh?
115 pounds, give or take.
Dang.
And
belly flopped right
because of my tactical outside the wire goggles from Smith Optics, it was like water off a duck's back.
You wore those in front of clients?
Absolutely, I did.
They're never coming
Absolutely
back.
Absolutely, I did.
They don't know what's happening behind them.
Scared.
That's what she said. Anyway, get you some of these Smith Optics tactical outside the wire goggles.
William Thompson, and it's time for the 2-Minute Will. Unfortunately, Christmas is over. But for kids listening to this, it's Christmas break. You still have time for Christmas break, so enjoy yourself, make good time of it, and don't just waste it. Just don't do nothing.
Go duck hunting with your dad.
Go duck hunting with your dad. Just do something that makes good use of your time.
Burn some cookies with your Gilmer.
Yes, that's always included. Travis, you start first. What is your favorite stocking stuffer you've ever gotten?
Yeah, so my mom, Will's grandma, is a master of stockings. My favorite is always my dad will get me, like, a fishing lure. Used to, we get spitting images.
Oh, yeah.
He'd get me a spitting image every year, and it would always be in my stocking. That's, like, probably my favorite stocking stuffer, because you look at it, and you're like, dude, I can't wait to use that. It's like winter's almost over now, and you're looking forward to spring, and you get to throw your topwater bait.
You know, we get the typical stuff, you know, candy and gum and stuff like that. But my favorite stocking stuffer I ever got was when I was 10 years old. Me and my dad are big Packer fans, the Green Bay Packers, and they were playing the Bucks like that week in Tampa. And my dad got us tickets to see them play in Tampa, and they were in my stocking. So it's not like a traditional stocking stuffer. It's like a big gift.
It was just hidden.
But it was in my stocking. So it was like, you know, we unwrapped all the presents.
And this was Brett Favre heyday. Like,
oh, this is like 1999, right?
Those were great seats.
Oh, and they were good seats. Lower bowl, you know, halfway.
35 yards.
Oh, yeah. No, they were great. So we had like opened all our presents. And I had no idea I didn't even ask for these. They just... And then all of a sudden I opened my stocking and it's like, what are these? I was so pumped. It was a great time.
Yeah, you are the OG Brett Favre fan from Central Park.
I would probably venture, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, like you were the Brett Favre guy,
yeah,
that I remember.
You're listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. The podcast is the brainchild of Travis Thompson and Nathan Henderson. All production and editing is done by Emily Thompson. Make sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app, leave us a review on iTunes, and follow us on social media @Cast and Blast FL.